When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, here we are. We got a game recap to get to. Your boy is sick as a dog with a little sore throat. I sound like Doc Rivers. You know, do I sound like one of those coaches that's just been yelling? Do I sound terrible?
You're hoarse. You got the coach after the tournament voice.
Yeah, it's like I told her guys we had to fight. But Bo Rude, you're getting ready to leave town. So, you know, we're via FaceTime. But we are taping this. It's about 7:30 on Black Friday, and we were like, "Man, we can't wait. We gotta recap that one." 24-17, Nebraska beats Iowa at Iowa. Oh my God, my friend! I don't even know where to begin with you.
I feel like I've been through a battle, but like I'm relieved. We won. We actually won a game.
Right.
Unbelievable.
It almost felt like that was the entire 5 year, the entire past five seasons wrapped up into one game. But instead of losing, somehow Nebraska found a way to win. Like it had all the ingredients of the Frost era, and it would have been really fitting for that to be the final game of the Frost era. But instead, they found a way to hang on and win. That was, you're right. Like, I am emotionally spent after that game.
I'm so relieved that we won for multiple reasons. One, for those players.
Yes.
Those players, they've been through a lot. They played hard. As much as they have not won, they have continued to prepare and play hard, I felt. And to see them get that, you could feel it, man. They were truly jacked. You know, did you happen to watch the post game where they had the trophy?
Oh yeah.
And Nelson has the trophy, bring it to the fans. I mean, how great is that?
I'm glad you brought that up, because I tweeted this out, and you know, I don't want to go all Hallmark card on this on everybody, but like, you can't help but be happy for those players, because like, and those coaches, by the way, they've been through a ton.
Yes.
They've struggled. They've lost. No one is trying to change the history here. But they never quit. They never quit. And it is cool to see that rewarded tonight. I don't know. We can acknowledge that this program is, you know, really struggling right now, and it needs new leadership, and, you know, and all those sorts of things. But that doesn't change the fact of, like, these guys, like, I want to remind you, think back to, and you can say all different circumstances, like, not really, like, to a certain extent. Think back to Iowa on the final game of Mike Riley.
Yeah.
Iowa came to Lincoln and won 56-14, scored 28 points in the third quarter. They had 500 yards of offense. They ran for 313 yards. Like, that was a football team that had absolutely 100% packed it in and quit. This team never quit. And that is just cool. It was cool to see that rewarded.
I mean, the Big Ten West is not good right this year.
Oh, my God.
I just don't think they are. They're not good. But let's point something out. Iowa is the best team in the Big Ten West. They're number one in the West. They win, they go to the Big Ten title game, and we played spoiler. Like a true, like, one-to-one spoiler. Not like, they might. Like, they were in if they beat us.
Yep.
And we beat them.
Right.
And we have not beaten them in the Frost era or, I don't believe, the Riley era, correct?
No. Last win was, 2000? Yeah, 2014.
Yeah.
His ride off into the sunset and was a win over. Yeah. So, I mean, you're right. I mean.
Yeah. So I guess for me, it's like, I'm so happy for the players. I'm so happy for these coaches that stood in there and they prepared like the right way and held the team together. I mean, you got to give credit to Mickey, and you got to give credit to Bill Bush and that defensive staff for hanging in there. And I'm actually in another way extremely happy we won, because Nick, if we lose that game, of our fans, the amount of fans that are on the teetering point right now, there's too many people I've talked to like, man, I just don't know if I can do it. And, you know, a lot of that talk, and I'm always the optimist, like, you got to hang it. But like, this win going into the off season, into this next coach coming, I think it just breathes a little bit of like, it gave you something. It gave you like, all right, yeah, we can win eventually here. We just got to put it together, right? We just beat, I mean, it kind of makes you a little bit frustrated for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
You go, okay, we just beat Iowa at home. Really, all we had to do was like beat Illinois, beat Minnesota, Purdue, and we're in the title game. And we're probably, you know, like Mickey probably gets that job, you know, like,
right.
God, you're missed opportunities is what it is, right?
You're right. Couple of things with that. I thought about that. I'm like, man, I mean, first of all, again, it bears repeating, we've said it. Watching this game today, you're like, if this team would have had Casey Thompson for the Illinois and Minnesota game, everything could be different right now. I mean, because they are a different team with that guy. And because he unlocks Trey Palmer. Trey Palmer goes from like milk carton. He is missing. Literally, like he is, you know, totally missing in action, to just a weapon of mass destruction. And so there's that. But the other thing I thought about too, you brought this up in the moment. And even though it was a win, I honestly think you were right. Do you remember the end of the COVID year? Nebraska went to Rutgers and they won. But Wandale Robinson got lit up. Like, he went over the middle a couple times, got hit hard, got knocked out of the game. He took some shots. And you'd have to imagine he walked off that field with a bad taste in his mouth about Nebraska.
Yeah.
I say all that to say, we just spent time on the pod talking about a lot of the guys you hope stay. Whether it's, you know, Trey Palmer, O'Shawn Mathis, Garrett Nelson, Casey Thompson. I could go on and on, but you know the point. Like, I'd have to imagine a lot of those guys are feeling pretty good about being a part of Nebraska in the moment. Their last memory, their last impression was a good one. Maybe that'll carry over. I don't know. Just a thought.
I think, Nick, the difference between winning and losing, especially for the guys that aren't Garrett Nelson, like the guys that aren't Nebraska born and bred, right? Like if you're Trey Palmer, if you're Marcus Washington, who had a nice game,
very.
If you're O'Shawn Mathis, like you're new to Nebraska and it has not gone well here during your time. But I, you know, what this does, like you said, it leaves a better taste, but it shows a glimmer of like, oh, there's a chance you can really be successful here. If we got things, you know, we'll go into the offensive line. Yeah. We can go into some of that later, but like there's a few spots that we got to get fixed here. But there, I mean, gosh, you look at Trey Palmer and Casey Thompson, you go, we got to do whatever we can to keep those guys.
Oh my
Holy
God.
Crap.
Yes. I mean, Casey Thompson's fucking good.
He's like tough.
That guy is a good player. Well, one of the things, I guess we'll start getting into the game like this. You and I joked a few days ago that Mark Whipple might whip out the YOLO playbook. Like he might, like that guy might be like, this could be my last game coordinating, calling plays. Who knows? I'm 60 plus years old. I got some health issues, all those sorts of things. We both kind of predicted, like, I could kind of see him going out there and just airing that bitch out. And
yeah,
what did he do? He came out throwing and aggressive. At the end of the first quarter, Casey Thompson was 6 of 11 for 126 yards and a touchdown. Trey Palmer had 4 catches, 111 yards, and a touchdown, the 87-yard bomb. Like, they came out firing and aggressive.
I don't even remember when their first run was. I mean, maybe we did a quick handoff somewhere, but like, I feel like the first quarter and a half, it was all throws.
Yes.
I mean, just, and it, what's funny is, you know, we were joking, like, I was like, if Whip, instead of just pretending like he wants to throw it, he should throw it every play. The more that game went on, the more I thought, we don't have a prayer running the ball. We really, that was the first time I ever felt like we really can't do it. We can't run it.
No, especially against Iowa, too. Like,
yeah.
Especially against him. I agree. Like, I think a lot of the anger and venom towards Whipple or criticism towards Whipple, to me, was more a product of when Thompson wasn't in the game. When it was Purdy and Smothers and he was still trying to call the game like he had Casey, that's when I'm like, okay, you need to see that those guys can't do it. But obviously Casey being in there changes the whole equation. But I agree with you. Like, it's funny you sit there and you say, we kind of joked like, he's going to YOLO it and throw it around. And then you watch it and I'm with you. I'm like, yes, they need to throw it. And you heard Mickey say, I think he said it at halftime and after the game, he's like, we felt like Trey, those guys couldn't guard Trey and those guys couldn't run with Marcus. Those guys, like, he was like, those guys can't run with them. Those, our advantage was Palmer, Washington, Casey's arm, not trying to hammer it inside with a bad offensive line. And by the way, a guy in Anthony Grant who is like, I don't know.
Fell off,
like,
the face of the earth.
Yes. I mean, he, who was in the Simpsons softball episode? Who fell? Ozzie Smith fell down the.
Ozzie Smith was, he was a tourist taking pictures and he fell into the, like, the deepest hole in the world or something, the never ending hole. And I think that's Anthony Grant right now.
I mean, Grant, again, there's not a lot of room, but homeboy wants to bounce and dance like nobody's biz right now. It's like, dude, just get up in there.
I, you know what? I'm going to be less critical of Anthony Grant because he hasn't seen a hole in two or three games. He has not seen a hole in two or three games, but I'll say this. His job needs to be, it's first and 10. You got to get back to the line of scrimmage and get a yard or two. If you just are hitting the line and pressing it, you'll get a yard or two. He lost yardage on, call it, five or six first and 10 plays this game. Where, Nick, there's no holes, there's nowhere to run, right? But your job in that situation is don't lose 3 yards on first down. And he kept trying to bounce. He kept kind of dancing and trying to, like, sometimes your job is get me a yard to two.
Right.
Give me three. Hard, tough yards. Actually, Ramir came in. And if you saw the way Ramir was hitting the holes and pressing the line, that was the difference. And I think that's why they pulled Grant for most of the second half, is because he wasn't seeing it. Like, sometimes your job is to see that, like, the best hole is the backs of the offensive linemen, like, in leaning forward.
Right. Totally. Completely agree. So, by the way, real quick, in the first half, just to extrapolate it, because, like I said, it wasn't just a first quarter thing. It was like a first half thing. Palmer finished with 6 catches, 138 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Casey Thompson finished 12 of 19, 196 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And this is on, like, a really good Iowa defense. And they came out firing and throwing. But what's crazy is Iowa kind of came out throwing, which was like, okay, thank you. Because Petras ends up getting knocked out of the game, which brought in Alex Padilla, which I think actually their backup, that probably helped them. I think Petras was having a rough go at it.
Yeah.
But it was just odd that Iowa came out airing it out. And because it seemed like if they would have wanted to really commit to the run, they could have had a little bit of success. But it was interesting how that game started with both mindsets for the offenses.
Yeah, I mean, Iowa's offense, they're just not good.
Jesus.
Yeah, that was their offensive, I feel like there was truly no threat for them to ever throw the ball down the field.
No.
I mean, ever. They never threw it past maybe 15 or 20 yards, and one of them was on that scramble. I don't think they dropped back and threw it down the field. So, it was a really strange offensive game plan for them, but you talk about that game being like in your pocket. We shouldn't even be talking about this right now.
I know.
It should have been a blowout.
Well, because some of these Iowa mistakes, or you want to call them Nebraska making plays, Nebraska has two strip sacks that lead to fumbles. Quentin Newsome on a nice corner blitz. Sack. Ernest Hausman recovers it. And then Maga Clements played a whale of a game. Like, that dude played good because Reimer was out. Maga Clements came in there and, like,
he was flying around.
He was flying around.
He's a guy, I remember watching his film. He's from America Samoa, right? Yeah. Like, he is, like, from the Rock, they call it. They call it the Rock.
Yeah.
Like, it's in the middle of nowhere, America Samoa is, right? And it's just, I mean, it's a different country, and it's a totally, like, different world. And this guy comes in as a skinny cornerback to JUCO. Then he becomes, like, this JUCO player of the year out of nowhere
right.
after he grows. And, you know, we pick him up, and I just loved his film, though, because he was this guy, you could tell he was kind of like a wild man. He just blitzes and he runs. So he never really found, you know, time on the field. But what he did today is kind of what I was hoping he could be, like a guy that just was kind of a splash play guy. And he was just flying around today.
He finishes with seven tackles. He has one sack. That was a strip sack and two TFLs. And his sack was like an athletic play. Like,
it was,
Padilla was trying to get away from him, and like a lesser dude would have like probably like let him out of his grasp. But not only does he sack him, he jars the ball loose. The Ultimate Warrior had an opportunity to scoop and score, and the Ultimate Warrior was like, "Oh my god!" And I respect the fact that he really slowed down. He picked it up like he was like an 80-year-old man who dropped his bingo card. He was like, "Oh,
he's looking a little stiff." He was looking a little stiff, and he was telegraphing that pickup. He's like, here we go, boys. We're going to have to bend over. But I tell you what, Nick, it's important. You gotta
scoop it.
Take no chances. Get the thing in your hands and then run. So too bad their receiver got a jump on it. But otherwise, I mean, that should be six.
It should have been a scoop and score. So you had the two strip sack fumbles. You had the muff punt from Iowa where Alante Brown recovered, which, by the way, and maybe, like, I feel like I just noticed it more today. I love how there used to be a lot of guys on punt team, punt return team, kickoff team that were, like, guys that you had to pull up the roster and go, like, who is that guy?
Yeah.
There's a lot of Garrett Nelson, Maga Clements, Alante Brown. Like, there's a lot of starters, like, top-tier dudes that are on special teams that is cool to see.
Offensive guys, too. I mean, the fact is, like, when you got offensive guys, it tells me, like, you're trying to play your best players.
Right.
The Dick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors, and I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go onto Pella's website right now, you look at it, and how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors. By Pella, won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of ways. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella Windows and Doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com.
You get the muff punt from Alante Brown, or Alante Brown recovers. And then the other big mistake, the leaping over the punt shield.
Did you know? I didn't know that. Had no idea that was a penalty.
I didn't know that. I'm glad. I feel better that you didn't know, because I truly didn't understand what they were looking at, and I knew you can't hurdle a field goal, right? You can't leap, or you can't.
I don't think anymore. There was a time you could, and I remember the dudes from like the Seahawks kept doing it, and
right.
I think they. You can't do that anymore. You can't do it in the pros either, I think. But I could be wrong on that. I don't know. I don't know if I've heard the official ruling.
Well, so because that leaping over the punt shield play ended up, it's not like Nebraska got points out of it, but Iowa was going to have the ball. That's right. Iowa was going to have the ball in pretty good field position. Instead, Nebraska got the ball back, and they ate 3 more minutes off the clock, which ended up being massively important. But what was interesting, I felt like after the leap over the shield and Nebraska got the ball back, I felt like Mickey made the decision, and I think I liked it at the time, but I also think it kind of like set a tone for the rest of the team. Everybody went into bleed the clock, like get on heels mode. Like all of a sudden we were, you know, Nebraska's chewing the play clock all the way down. They're running the ball. They're not taking shots at all, which I think is the right thing to do. But in some ways, this group is so fragile mentally and doesn't know how to win that once they were like, okay, so we're throttling it down. Okay. And then they just proceeded to pee their pants for the rest of the game after that. Because really, whizzed their pants bad after that whole sequence.
Well, for me, I mean, you know, it's we can't even, I mean, that's where, like, you talk about, like, we couldn't, Nick, get a yard. Like, we were losing 3 yards a run after that, basically every run. And then, you know, and then Ramir gets stripped. You know, I mean, it felt like the collapse was coming. Like, it kind of, that's what's so hard is, like, we were jubilated now, but there was a moment there where you felt the collapse, like, it's happening. Yes. It basically was happening, and then we rallied, essentially.
Yes, because, okay, so Nebraska bleeds clock. They punt it away. The next time Nebraska gets the ball, Ramir fumbles on the first play from scrimmage with a little over 6 minutes left at the 25-yard line. That sets up an Iowa field goal. And at this point, you're going, are they going to fuck around and lose this? They were up 24 to nothing. Are they going to lose this game?
Also,
during this time, just to go through all the different ways Nebraska peed in their pampers, Quentin Newsom drops not one, but two interceptions that would have sealed the game.
Yep.
Trey Palmer got tackled by his jersey 1 yard short of the first down.
Nick, I mean, it's funny you named those three plays. Those were as egregious as Ramirez fumble to me. I was like, guys, this is you win the game if you can make a simple play. And like we had three chances to essentially end the game, and we couldn't do it. Which, like, I think every Nebraska fan out there, like, your heart's in your throat, and you're just like, I'm gonna have a heart attack right now.
I mean, Trey Palmer, and I guess in his defense. But even so, he had to have thought he had gotten the first down and he was there. But, I mean, that was akin to my 2-year-old son, Mac, trying to run away from me, and I just grab the back of his onesie and I pull him down. Like, Trey Palmer, you are a elite athlete, like, big dude, and this dude just grabbed the back of your jersey and it was, you couldn't go anywhere. I mean, it was unbelievable.
That was one of those plays where I'm just shaking my head. But, you know, in the end, like, the one good thing about that play, though, as I'll say, is Nick, he caught it inbounds and, like, at least the clock, you know, it kept the clock moving and enforced, you know, kept forcing the Wisconsin's hand then, right? So if we would have thrown an incomplete pass there on third and has been like, then we, Nick, think about the amount of, like, difference that would have potentially made.
Well, okay, so then just as we're going to go through where Nebraska peed their pants, but we'll also get into some decisions. This, I didn't understand. It was 4th-and-1, and Mickey makes a decision to punt it. They're at their own 34-yard line with 3 minutes and 20 seconds left. There were some people I saw on Twitter, and I even had some people text me, like, come on, man, you're a 3-and-8 football team. You got to get a yard. Go for it there. I'm like, yeah, I agreed with the decision to punt it.
We weren't getting that yard, Nick. We couldn't get a yard. Especially when they know we're not going to go deep, essentially. We had no chance. It was terrible.
That's how
bad our offensive line was playing.
And while Nebraska was melting, Iowa has arguably the worst offense in the country, too. So, you know, at the very least, just punt it and make them have to make some more plays. So I agreed with that decision. And I think you did, too.
If you're playing Purdue, you go for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're playing Purdue, and they can really sling the rock. You go for it there. You're playing Iowa with a great defense and a crap offense. You punt it. Like, you actually have the advantage, your defense versus their offense.
Right. So the next pee in your Pampers moment, this podcast brought to you by Pampers, apparently. Nebraska gave up a 3rd and 14. The 3rd and 14, they threw the little, I think it was to Lachey, Nick Lachey of 98 Degrees. He came out and did a little dance for everybody.
Nick LaWan.
But 3rd and 14, he's able to catch it, and then he does what Trey Palmer couldn't do, not get brought down by a jersey. He caught it and gained like 2 yards and got a first down. So at that point, you were like, oh my God, to give up another 3rd and 14. But ultimately, Nebraska ends up forcing, getting a stop. There was the play. What did you think of the play? 3rd down and 7 at the 30-yard line for Nebraska. The crazy pre-snap shift that out of nowhere Nebraska snapped it, and luckily it was a false start, and it was maybe going to be a fumble.
Oh, God.
What was that play?
Well, what I don't know is I didn't actually see where the false start was.
I think Nebraska was lucky that it was called a false start.
Because I was so focused on the false start, I didn't see, was the snap just like bad, or was Casey not looking because he heard the whistle?
I think it was the snap was bad and came out of nowhere. So maybe it was like false start in the sense that like people were still shifting. I don't know what happened on that play. But,
well, the thing about it is like if you're trying to draw somebody off sides, it's just different when it's like 3rd and 4 versus 3rd and 7. Like, I don't know. It's just like the risk reward of that play was probably not there.
No. I mean, so the crazy thing though about that is like you were lucky that didn't go horrifically terrible and be a fumble and they scoop it. But it also, God, you were in field goal range. And then it backs you up even more. And then this comes to the second decision. What did you think about Nebraska's decision to punt it instead of attempt the field goal? So it was 4th and 11 at the Iowa 34. It would have been about a 50-yard field goal for Bleak Road with a minute left, or you could punt it. Did you want him to try the field goal, or did you like the punt?
Nope, I like the punt. Like I said, Iowa, the right play to me is make Iowa throw the ball and do anything, which from like going the whole length of the field. For them, like to give them the ball – like closer to the, you know, the midfield to them is so much different than when you put them like on the 20 or inside. It's just too bad they couldn't have pinned them deep.
Well, I know,
like,
that's the thing is Buscini, I've never seen a punter that mad. He was like, do you think when a punter fights, he just like lines up and he just tries to punt kick people? Like, I mean, Buscini was going to go kill the dude.
Oh, he was pissed. I mean, it was
a pretty bad play by the punt coverage group.
It wasn't good, but, you know, I also think Buscini, there, you don't have to land it on the 5 either. Like, your job is to keep it, like, right around the 10 or inside. Like,
right.
I think, like, there was nobody else covering. I mean, nobody else blocking. So, like, really, they're not going to return it. So, like, all you can't do as Buscini is put one in the end zone for any reason.
Right. Yeah, so
I mean, I guess it bounced hard, but, like,
no, I agree with you.
It's also not, like, an easy play from the defender.
Well, to be like a golf analogy, there's a time to go for the stick, you know, like attack the flag, and there's a time to just get it on the green.
That's what I'm saying.
Get it on the green, dude.
That's a great analogy. That's a get it on the green, not like I want it 2 inches for the tap.
Because you punt it through the end zone, you end up only gaining about 10 yards of field position.
Yeah, that was a – that hurt. But like I said, I think it's better than missing the field goal from the, what were we on the 30,
it would have been about a 50. It would have been out of a 50, 51 yard field goal. And Buscini had already missed one.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay.
Bleak Road. And then also, I can't remember which drive this was. It might have been the second to last one for Iowa. I thought it was, what did you think of the pass down the sideline? BTN's camera guy. It was Peter McGilligan from the Drunk Irish Times was running that.
Oh, God.
What happened to the BTN, the game cam, when Padilla rolled out and threw the one down the sideline? The game cam stayed with the quarterback, and we didn't get to see the crazy catch on the sideline. Now, we got the replay of it because they ended up reviewing it and overturning it. Did you think that was the right call for Iowa?
Yeah. No, I do think, like, I think that was an incompletion because, one, He didn't have possession. His, like, the borderline is, did his knee touch right when he sort of pressed it against his chest, which is probably the case where, like, if it's at the same time, you're out. So that's a coin flip. But I don't think he had possession of the ball once he hit. So I think with the fact that when he hit the ground, the ball moved again, I think that's what they looked at and said, hey, there's basically two pieces of evidence. One of them's a guarantee it's an overturn, and the other one's like a 50-50. So I think they just said, look, it looks to me like that ball moved, so that it doesn't even matter if his knee was in or not.
I know, it was just close. You usually, it's, refs are always pretty big on, like, they're pretty big sticklers of, like, whatever the call on the field is, to overturn it, yeah, it's got to be really obvious. And while I don't think the Iowa guy caught that ball, I don't know if there was just a it was totally obvious in the one replay. Even though I think he didn't
I am not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not. I'm completely against conspiracy theories for the most part, right? But if you were a conspiracy theorist, who do you probably not want to win the Big Ten?
I mean, I wonder. Right.
Probably not Iowa. That's one of those, if you're one of those people that believe that, you're like, the Big Ten comes in and says, I think that's another one going against Iowa today, folks.
Well, you see,
did get a lot of calls. And
Kevin Warren was in the – you see, Kevin Warren, Big Ten commissioner, was at the game. Do you think he was standing – he had like a direct line to the ref, and they're like, no.
You know what, Nick? That's where if it goes – like, those are the decisions that, like, if there ever was, like, the Big Ten or, the NFL or the NBA, if they wanted an outcome – those are how you influence it, right?
Well, like, Bo, I mean, think about the 2009 Big 12 championship game. I mean, what did Bo Pelini say when he was running off the tunnel? The BCS,
yep.
That's why they make that call.
Yep.
You know? I mean, there was a little bit of a conspiracy bill was out there. Conspiracy, Nick and Bo. There was the Illinois-Michigan game last week. There was like a questionable pick play that Michigan ran late, that there was no flag. I don't know. I'd love to get, certain refs on the record. Like, how much do you know? Are you ever, like, strongly encouraged? Like, do you understand as a ref, as Michigan is playing Illinois, like, if there's a 50-50 call, make sure it goes Michigan's way so Michigan and Ohio State can be undefeated playing each other and they have the best chance of both getting in, both have a great opportunity to get in the playoff. Like, I wonder if you'd think like that at all. I don't know.
I mean, Nick, with this Iowa offense, like, Iowa's not great for the Big Ten brand nationally. They'd much rather see a fun Purdue or Illinois team in there right now.
For sure.
Those teams are much more appealing. It'd be a nice little shakeup for the Big Ten. I just think that, like I said, there's a little part of me that always kind of, there's a twinkle in the back of my head, like, man, it seems like we're getting the calls today.
Right. I know.
It felt like that.
I know.
It felt like we weren't going to miss a call. I don't know why. I just had that feeling today.
So, I mean, that is like all the pee in your Pampers moments. I mean, it seemed like down the stretch. I mean, you pointed it out, Nebraska couldn't run the ball to save their life. They couldn't get a yard to save their life. And wow, to go from 24-0 to the point where I allowed myself to relax for a little bit when it was 24-0, I was like, oh, when Washington had the one touchdown and he hit him with the the one over the moon, I was like, this game's over. Mainly because it's like Iowa, I mean, there is, what is it in dog years? 1 year is 7 years. Is that dog years? For like Iowa, one touchdown deficit is the equivalent of like 21-point deficit. So
that's why it's unthinkable. You're up
24-0. Yes.
In the third quarter, and you go, it's Iowa. They can't do anything. And we just I think that touchdown run we give up. I mean, if we don't give that up and you make them keep marching and earn it and take up another 5 to 8 minutes, then it's probably they've given up that it's even possible. But the fact we kind of gave up an easy touchdown run there, it gave that crowd life. I don't know if you felt it, like, if you could hear the crowd energy and craziness flip the switch after that run, and our team was different after that.
I totally agree. I think it's like that long run flip the game. But Nebraska held on for a little bit, and then they started melting really bad in the final 8-9 minutes of that thing. But unbelievable. I mean, that would have been an all-time. I mean, we've seen some bad collapses.
Yeah.
That one would have been the worst, right?
It would have been the worst.
I mean, that's saying something.
We weren't good on offense, but really the difference was Casey Thompson. Like, Casey Thompson, as bad as the offense did in the fourth quarter, like in the third and fourth, he did get a first down or two, which it might seem like nothing, but the difference is, like, if that's not Casey Thompson, we're not even getting a first down the rest of the game. And then we probably run out of steam and they probably get enough momentum to beat us, right? But, like, getting those little extra first downs here and there, I think that made the difference.
Yeah, I mean, watching today, and you watch it, it just, I couldn't help but, I know we talked about it, but to circle back to it, like, you couldn't help but go, man, this is the team that was going to win the division and go play in the Big Ten title. And it just makes you go, if for as flawed as Nebraska was, if Casey Thompson doesn't get hurt, there's an alternate universe where Nebraska could have been in contention for the Big Ten. Because the Big Ten West is bad. These teams are not very good.
It's bad. It is. It's bad. And, you know, you just realize, though, like, we beat Iowa, and it was ugly. But it could have been a, like.
Yes, that was close to being, like.
It was closer to being a blowout for a lot of that game than it was. I mean, we left a touchdown and a field goal on the board in the first half. Like,
yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like. Dude,
no, there was a world where that game was 31-0 or 34-0.
Yeah.
And
that's where, like, it's, you know, and people probably drive me crazy that we're always the internal, like, what if guys. But, like, I can't help but do it when I go, it didn't look like they were even remotely better than us. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, their defense looked like their defensive line looked better than ours, right? But other than that, their O&D line looked better than ours, but it was really just their O-line probably. But not even by that. I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's hard for me to just not think we can beat Illinois, Purdue. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't seem crazy to believe that.
No, I know. I mean, you're right. I mean, the only games, like, it felt like when you walked off the field against Oklahoma, you were like, they're better than Nebraska. When you walked off the field against Michigan, you're like, they're better than Nebraska. Everybody else, it was debatable. And it's even more debatable with Casey Thompson.
Exactly. But, yeah, I mean, Casey was out second half.
And that's a part of it.
And yes. But we were up in that damn Illinois game too, you know. You go, shoot.
I know. It is crazy. So a wild, crazy, bizarre season comes to an end now. And I will say I you know, you and I were talking a couple weeks ago. I was like, man, if I could just fast forward through these last two games, I would. I was way more emotionally invested in this game than I thought I was gonna be.
Yeah.
Which was fun. A nice way to end the season to kind of, like, you know, get into it. But now we sit here and play the waiting game. There were a lot of reports throughout the day, whether it was ESPN, the World Herald, all reported that Matt Rhule and Nebraska are very close to striking a deal. I think this thing could happen fast. I think if anything taught us tonight, I'm preaching to the choir here, but, like, you watch tonight and you go, man, if it's Rhule, you got to keep Mickey around.
You got it. I mean, it shouldn't be obviously it sounds like it's Matt Rhule. And I mean, obviously you want to get him done. You don't want to leave him ultimatums, but you need to strongly suggest finding a way to keep Mickey Joseph. Like, you know, because I don't know what's going to happen with Trey Palmer. If he's, you know, if he's a guy that can go pro right now. But if he's not, and Casey Thompson's not, you know, and O'Shawn Matt, like, dude, you got to keep these guys. You got to get, and if Mickey's the key to keeping Palmer, of all the guys, Palmer and Thompson, like,
well, and I would think those two are probably like connected. Like, I bet the first thing Trey would say, if you would talk to Trey, be like, Trey, you going to stay? He would go, well, that depends on two things. Is Mickey staying and is Casey staying?
Yeah. It's Mickey number one. And then I think, knowing who your quarterback's going to be. Cause like, if you don't got a quarterback and you're Trey Palmer, he is going to be the hottest. If he were to go in the portal, he'd be the number one guy in the portal, period. Right.
Yes. I mean, so what's interesting is you would think a total rebuild would include like a quarterback. I'm telling you right now, Casey Thompson is your day one 2023 starter. Do you feel okay about that?
Yes, I do.
So do I. And I don't know
especially how Trey Palmer, you can throw the Trey Palmer.
Right. It's like if Casey Thompson is your day one starter next year with whoever coach, whatever coach you want. Probably not God Country Option. You don't want Casey running God Country Option, but like but it's a, so that's what's a weird usually massive rebuilds, you know, like teams that are picking at the top of the draft, you know, like when the draft starts, you'd be like, all right, let's go to needs. You know, they go to Mel Kiper. It's like, well, I think the first thing they need to look at is franchise quarterback. They don't got any quarterbacks right now. They look at quarterback.
Mel, I don't think so, Mel.
But you know what I mean? Like, usually the teams that are picking at the top of the board need a quarterback. Usually teams that are in a massive, like they've had a disastrous period of time, they're needing to kind of blow up everything and start over. You would think they need to go get a new quarterback. I'm not sure that's the case, but I don't know what Casey Thompson wants to do.
We need to be like, with the first selection of the 2023 college football NIL draft, Jonathan Ogden to the Nebraska Cornhuskers, offensive tackle.
Right.
Like, yes, please.
They need to go out. I want the most absurd NIL deal of all time to Jonathan Pancake. We got to find an international house of pancakes NIL deal. That seems like the most obvious.
We need a guy like with like Mount Huskmore or something, like some guy that's like a giant human being that you're just like, that's the biggest man I've ever seen. Like Paul Bunyan with the first pick.
Just they need to go out and NIL the shit out of like a bunch of Paul Bunyan, Jonathan Pancakes. I want Jonathan Pancake on this roster next year. That's what I want.
You want Jonathan Pancake? I want Mount Huskmore.
Mount Huskmore and Jonathan Pancake on your left and right tackle. That's all I want. Okay. Why can't that happen? I mean, we'll wrap it up there. I mean, again, now we play the waiting game, and I think. Well, my guess is, I've thought all along, this thing feels like it's moving quick, and now Trev's maybe, you know, if you're Nebraska, I don't think, here's the problem. I don't know, I think athletic departments and PR people would tell you this. You know, like if you have some bad news, you know, if you have a news dump on something bad, you want to do it like Friday at like 3 o'clock, where, people are going into the weekend, and then by Monday hit, people are like, hey, did you hear that thing about that one company? And people are like, I don't remember about that. It was the weekend, you know? So, like, but if you're Nebraska, I don't think you want to announce that Matt Rhule's the coach on the day of the Ohio State-Michigan game. Right? Like,
I think you don't want to do it tonight just because you want to, like, let the win sink in. You want to, like, let Mickey and the team and the fans enjoy the win and then maybe hit them. Maybe it's Sunday you hit him with the.
That was my thought. My thought was, let it go a day, and then first thing Sunday, you could kind of not own, but you could have a lot of attention on yourself for Sunday with that announcement, and then press conference Monday.
What's funny is when did they make the announcement on Rhule today?
That was breaking. It was breaking pretty much during the game. There was a tweet from Chris Lowe of ESPN that might have been a little bit before the game. Like, it was maybe at like noon today. Okay. That, hey, so, you know, the whole sources tell me Trev Alberts has locked in on Matt Rhule, and the two sides are close to striking a deal. And then the World Herald confirmed it. Steve Sippel was like, I talked to a guy at Perkins, and he had Applebee's, and they told me that it was Rhule. But so that started, but it was really breaking. Like, I think the World Herald posted their confirmation story during the game. So it was kind of a weird deal, a weird sequence of events. But, yeah, like, so I guess my thing is, like, if this thing's starting to leak pretty good, I could see Trev being like, man, maybe this thing needs to get announced quickly. And also, if you're Trev, don't mess around. If, like, if you got someone, lock them in. You know what I mean? Like, announce it. You don't want to let anything, you know, we've seen crazy stuff happen. I watched Dana Altman at an introductory press conference in Arkansas accept the job, do pig suey and all that stuff, and then a day later he was coming back to Creighton. So, like, crazy things happen, you know?
It is, and you know what? Like, I think with Rhule, too, like, if he's our guy and you believe it, let's get locked up, because there's going to be a bunch of firings in the next 48 hours. Like, you know, the worst thing is if this is our guy and we've been betting all our chips on him, it's like, you know, the last thing you want to do is
right.
All of a sudden,
Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M gets fired, yeah. And all of a sudden he's going, wait a minute, oh, I'm going to go to Texas A&M. You don't want to let something like that happen. So
yeah,
we'll see.
The Athletic like officially announces, like, Matt Rhule. Like sources, you know, like people yes. are, it's out to me. Like, when it's out, that means it was intentionally out, because they've been buttoned up. Like, nobody's known. I just feel like they almost wanted it out by now.
You're right. That's a good way to put it. If this thing is out, it's just not official, because there hasn't been anything official from the University of Nebraska.
Yeah. And but so, I think they wanted, I mean, especially before the game, maybe they, I don't know. Maybe that was just part of the decision, like, let it happen. But, yeah, I think you're right, though. At this point, get it done. And, you know, I think perfect situation. You let everybody enjoy the victory for a day, and then you go announce it. But whatever. If you need to announce it the next day and get it done with and, you know, get to recruiting, that's fine, too. Whatever.
You think our boy Mickey is celebrating with a cocktail right now? What do you think Mickey's doing right now?
I think Mickey has got to be feeling pretty good about this win. I mean, it is the signature win of the Scott Frost era. To me, it is. It's the signature win of Scott Frost era / the Mickey Joseph, like, finishing the season, right? So in 5 years, Nick, this is our best win.
Right.
Going to Iowa and beating the potential Big Ten West champs at their, you know, the last game of the year, the rivalry game. I mean, it's the best win. So I think it's probably a little bittersweet that he's not going to get the job, but it's got to be sweet that, you know, to get that win as a head coach. And it's building his resume. Like, look, Mickey's on, he's on the path to eventually become a head coach.
Yeah.
And I think it's to our benefit to keep him and, you know, keep him around as long as possible. And, you know, you never know where it's going to end up with Mickey and Nebraska. You know, he's a guy that we're not done with Mickey Joseph. You know, it's more of like a Mickey is, we want him a part of this now. And then, you know, maybe in the future, there's something for him too.
For sure. So we'll leave it at that. And now we play the waiting game on whenever this announcement happens. You and I will be ready to knock out a pod to react to whoever the new head coach is going to be. Again, all signs point to it being Matt Rhule, but crazy things have happened, so we'll see. All right, my voice hung in there. I hope I didn't sound too terrible for people. And, like, we don't say enough to people, we appreciate. I'm glad that our game recap pods have become a part of people's, like, routines and therapy and part of the way they consume Husker football, because I know you and I love doing this, and this is our, you know, what, fourth year doing it. And, you know, we're going to continue to do it. It's like the most fun thing we get to do. And hopefully Nebraska will start winning.
Yeah, it's so much fun. Like, we've done it through losing seasons, but it is still so much fun to do. I get such a thrill, like, yes, hearing from people, like a guy in the gym or, you know, a guy at the grocery store, they'll tell me, listen to the pod, let you know, it's really absolutely makes my day every time. I actually saw in the, somebody left in the comments, there's people from the Philippines.
Yeah.
From the Philippines, they all get together and they listen to our show as, you know, as a group, they listen to it and have a, you know, have a coffee or something. I go, that makes my day. That know that like people are doing that and they're experiencing it together.
Fireside chats with Bo Rude and Nick Baugh. That's what they're becoming, a fireside chat with these people from the Philippines and from Husker Nation all over the place. So, well, Nebraska only wins, what'd they win, four games? A little bit off of our predictions. We were like, I don't know, man, 14-0 or something like that. A little bit off on the predictions.
We're always optimistic. That's part of the fun.
It's part of the
fun
now.
We're always a little bit excited.
Man, it's going to be a fun time. It's going to be a fun time to react to this coach. And then the staff and the portal. Like, there's going to be a lot going on here in the next month. We got a lot to cover.
It's the coach and the Mickey factor. Like, it's some reason it's like the Mickey factor feels huge with Trey Palmer right now. Like, or maybe Trey's already like, I'm going pro, like whatever. But
he might be.
I don't know. It feels like it's something big. I don't know. I'm like, okay.
Yes.
It'll be fun.
This is going to be a ton of fun. Okay, my man, go get some rest. Safe travels. And we'll figure out who this coach is. And we'll talk about it soon.
All right, buddy. Feel better.
I will try. I'm going to try.
A Huda Media Production.